Today on Maine Calling, money-saving tips during challenging times. Boy, it sure seems like everything is more expensive these days. Gas and groceries, furniture, clothing, cars and trucks, education, the list goes on. And analysts don't see prices dropping anytime soon. Still, we've got to live, so many of us are looking for ways to pinch pennies. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will cast a net for some collective wisdom. What are your tips and strategies for squeezing more out of each dollar? We'll also learn from some experts on managing money and cooking healthy meals on a budget. Mainers are known for being frugal. Let's hear what you've got. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville. And Quarry Cottages at Highland Green, committed to providing low-maintenance living and dedicated to creating a community where residents are free to pursue their passions. And Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping Northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com. And North Yarmouth Academy, a 2025 AP Platinum School recognized by College Board, inviting families to tour campus, shadow a student, and explore its new dormitory.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. You don't need me to tell you we are living in challenging economic times. Today, we are going to get ideas on how to stretch your hard-earned dollars. Joining me, Steve Couts, who is an accredited financial counselor and financial education program specialist with Finance Authority of Maine, or FAME. Suzanne Lee is a faculty fellow at the University of Maine's Mitchell Center for Sustainability Solutions. And Noel Bonham is the State Director for AARP Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. What are you doing to make your money last longer? Tell us if you made changes in behavior or spending that have worked for you. Tell us if you have a tip that you have used your entire life. We are hoping to share ideas, bring the whole state of Maine together with some ideas. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to all of you. Noel, I'll start with you. We know that we see the numbers. We see that inflation is rising. We see the price of a gallon of gas. It seems as though everything is more expensive than it used to be. And funny things surprise you. I was on the lookout for a wicker trash can, and I couldn't believe how much they cost. You know, I remember picking up one for $5. And I'm wondering if you have information or any kind of analysis about what this means for people. What does it mean for families, for not just older people, but all of us here on the ground, when we see this kind of persistent inflation?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I think this is a time where a lot of people really are forced to introspect about their spending, what it means to save. But I think for the sake of this conversation, I'll separate spending from savings, because I think this is so much about how much do you spend and how much can you spend in a time like this. And, you know, we know for a fact that people are working longer than they've ever intended to. And we know that on an average, an American works about 7 years longer than they intended to work in, and if they were planning to retire at a certain age. They're getting close to that age and they realize that they actually are not ready financially to take that big plunge, to take that big step, and then they're working 7 years longer. When you add all of those factors and then you talk about inflation like what we're experiencing now, it forces people to really innovate, you know, or spending innovation is something that they are forced to kind of lean towards and look at what that means to them as individuals, as families. And it's tough. It's forcing people to, and it's not just people living on limited incomes, people, you know, especially unless you're in a very high income strata. If you're making money, no matter whether it's limited, like for an older adult or, you know, or a single mother with four kids, with three jobs, it still is a tough time for anyone. And, you know, whether you're, if you're putting plus gas in your car, you might think for the first time, maybe I should put regular gas now because it's so expensive, right? It's that, this, that kind of shift that we're witnessing all around.
Yeah. So in fundamental ways, in just trying to put food on the table, but also in all those little decisions we make all day long. Steve, from your perspective, what can you say about the impact of this kind of inflation on regular people?
Yes, good morning, and thanks for having me on. The impact of inflation right now, everything that Noel said about working longer, it's part of a holistic approach. You know, the concept of being frugal for today's needs, just to try to compensate or shift resources. We're spending a little more on gas, so we're going to have to spend more on something else or eat into our future, which could be our savings for retirement, saving for education, or something else. So this, the concept is more of an ongoing, how am I managing resources? And a big thing is understanding that now more than ever, small things add up to big results. So, you know, a few pennies, a few bucks from several things, we might not think of sometimes as being that important. But right now, if you're experiencing or at any time financial stress, those small decisions really add up big.
Yeah. Suzanne, what about from your perspective? How do you look at this?
Yeah, actually, Steve, that was a perfect lead in about small actions really add up. And so in the area of wasted food, which is what our team works on, we have known for many years that, you know, people waste about a third of the food that they produce. It never gets eaten. But that actually adds up to about $3,000 a year for the average family. But over the last few years, we've been working on this, I think, at our team at the Mitchell Center for the last 8 years. And every year nationally, despite everyone's efforts on this, the food waste has been going up and up. This is the first year, the recent data has come out, that there's been actually a 2% decrease for the first time in the amount of wasted food. So we think that, you know, this messaging about, you know, it's $3,000. You think it's just a, you know, bag of this, a can of that, a basket of this that you throw in the trash. But that really adds up. $3,000, probably a lot of people, a lot of families could use that extra $3,000. And we're starting to see that behavior change.
So a silver lining for maybe not the best reason.
Yes, got to take something good.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, Ed, let's just start in with some ideas, some tips. I'm going to go back to you, Steve, because, you know, the advice that your parents gave you and really is the advice that's as old as the hills is that you, all of us need to try to live under our means, to have a little bit to save. And sometimes that is really, really hard. You know, it's one thing to say to someone, live beneath your means, but with prices the way they are today, we do need to live. We need to pay to have a roof over our head, and we need to pay for food, and we need to pay for clothing and transportation. Start with some advice.
Yeah, the back to what I was mentioning about small decisions and big long-term results. For example, right now, If you're really in triage mode and it's getting very hard to pay bills because of inflation or the price of fuel, then it's really looking at, you know, I call them leaks in the budget. You know, that could be, you know, an easy thing to pick on over the years was like the high price of going out for a coffee. But now also things like, and this is one I really point out a lot, things we might be paying for a few bucks a month here and there that add up that we don't even realize we are, for example, streaming services, you know, which can be wonderful. But the average American has streaming services that they don't know they signed up for. And they're eating away at their credit card or bank account, $7, $8, $10, $12, $15 a month, sometimes times five. And then over the course of a year, that's hundreds, if not $1,000, and long term, even more. So looking at areas of your spending, because in the short run, we can control spending faster than we can increase our income. So even though we might want to look at picking up a side gig or making a little extra money, we really have to look at all of our expenses and make really tough decisions when times are really tough. And then if we're doing okay, we still want to prepare for when times will get tough for us, because they probably will, which means making good decisions, working on avoiding or paying off debt in order to redirect resources towards saving for goals or saving to be able to handle the next difficult financial time.
No, your turn.
I think often when people hear about frugality, I think they, attach a negative connotation to that, but it could also mean smart spending. How do you plan? And I think that's what Steve was also referring to. I think so much of this is about smart spending. What do you really need to spend on? What is it that you really need right now versus wants? Another term that I heard not too long ago is in lifestyle inflation. Because you're making more money, it doesn't mean you have to spend more, right? And this is something that, particularly speaking for the demographic that I work for and represent, and for older adults, I think they've really over the years have figured out how to stretch that dollar to the maximum. Whether it is looking at the coupons that come in this in the Sunday newspaper, or whether it is, the 2-for-1 deals that you get on Fridays at your favorite restaurant, or looking at these opportunities that exist in the community, even if it means saving 59 cents on that carton of yogurt. And those things kind of add up. And I think that's where there are opportunities. And also looking at tools that are available to be able to manage your finances better. And this is where I will plug in for AARP's tools. We have a ton of tools for people to be able to plan for their all free and available to anyone who's interested at any age, to plan for retirement, Social Security calculator, money spending calculator, retirement savings calculator. And there are all these tools that are available. And again, when I say for anyone at any age, the other thing too that we emphasize is it's never too early to start being frugal, and never too early to start saving for years for that one life event that could change everything, your financial situation in a significantly. On an average, we say try to save, have enough to spending money, monthly spending money for 3 to 6 months, because you never know what that could look like.
Suzanne, a lot of people are turning to these outfits, whether it's a big box store or something else that sell things in bulk. Does that save money in the long run?
It's funny, this came up just the other day and somebody was explaining. Yeah, we always go to the big box stores and we buy those bulk things. And it finally occurred to them that if they bought eight of them at this reduced price, because it tells you the unit price on it seems so cheap. But out of those eight, if you only used four, now you have to redo the math and realize that actually you paid a lot more per item used than you would have otherwise. And so, so that is a very common recalculation I think people have to do. Don't get suckered into those. And even it's not always the big box stores, but all sorts of retailers over the years have gotten into that load up idea. Buy two and get one free. But maybe you didn't really need the three. Maybe you didn't even really need the two. You only needed the one. So to think about it that way. And I think that the food area is just a huge opportunity. Like you said at the beginning, are there things that have always been done that your parents taught, your grandparents taught you? This is really a time to return to that. The best way to save money on food is just to simply buy less. And that doesn't take some magical app or anything else. It just simply are little tips like shopping your fridge first. You wouldn't believe the number of people who go to the store and they're like, did I have the bananas? Did I have those carrots? The bacon was hiding under the meat drawer, but just to be sure, I guess I'll buy another thing of bacon. Well, you might need to really think of that bacon, $6. Maybe I should have checked in the meat drawer before I left the house. Again, because the best way to save that dollar and make it go further is just to shop less. Don't make that extra trip to the grocery store. Don't buy those extra items when you already have them at home.
And it's so interesting, the shop in your refrigerator first. I like that because if you're creative, and now that we have the internet, I have been in my refrigerator and I have seen maybe three ingredients, and I put those into a search engine and I say recipe. And often you get a fantastic recipe you might not have thought of, and you're able to use up what is in your refrigerator. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, that's such a great point from Suzanne about the big box stores and couponing and just trying to consume less because it's so true that I find a lot of times working with individuals that they think they're saving money. Yes, unit price is important, but not if you're not going to use it, or if the cost of acquiring a lower unit price is actually higher. And with the price of gas where it is, going around town to three or four shops to save 20 cents on an item is actually probably costing you money. So it's a thing to look holistically, be very careful about your consumption in general. And do I need so much of a thing? And big box stores often don't have generic brands. So you might be paying less per box, but that's still higher than paying for generic brands at a different market. So just being aware of all of the costs associated rather than just, oh, I'll get a better deal if I buy 75 rolls of toilet paper. Not always a good thing for just regular households. So I love that point. And again, little things add up big.
And I'm thinking to myself, Suzanne, you have said shop your refrigerator first. I have heard shop your closet first. That if you think you are tired of your clothing, if you think they may not be appropriate for something you've been invited to, maybe have a friend who has a great fashion sense over to look through your closet for you and give you a fresh perspective. I've read that idea. But these things we're talking about, whether it's food or clothing, yes, today we're talking about frugality, and yes, that saves money, but there are many other reasons to do this as well, right? Suzanne.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. You're making use of, the resources that you have and finding all sorts of, and the food thing is a something that restaurants use. We were talking about this with, Northern Light Health today. Today's chicken breast roasted is tomorrow's delicious buffalo chicken wrap. So that's how they, have to manage their food dollar. And, we can do the same at home. I mean, it's not even a suffering. It's not frugality. It's like creativity, and it's sort of exciting. And the same thing, like you said, applies to apparel. Very often, like before I give things away, I sometimes keep them in the garage because I'll see something in a magazine and I'll be like, I already had that. That's like from 10 years ago. But actually, if looking at it that way, now it has a whole new purpose. And so, yeah, it just is kind of fun. And it's almost a game to see how you can really get the most uses and the most enjoyment out of things you already spent money on.
Noelle.
I grew up in India where it's insulting to leave any food on the plate. When you're done with your meal, especially if you go to someone's house and they serve you something, it's almost an insult to leave any kind of food, even like six grains of rice on the plate. And that kind of, you stays with you, that kind of cultural orientation. We never waste any food at home. There's nothing that goes to waste from our fridge. Like everything gets cooked and everything gets consumed. And we do it so creatively, like that innovation that Suzanne is talking about. It's so key to frugality, like, not just about how you spend your money, but how do you really take the things that you have available so you don't spend more and make something nice. It actually, many times when you put your mind to it, like the recipes you're talking about, Jennifer, you could come up with something really exciting, and it could be a fun thing as well.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. Already calls and emails and ideas coming in. We'll share those afterwards. Why don't you share yours? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainecalling.org. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today's program, well, we're talking about being thrifty and making your money last just a little longer. My guest today, Suzanne Lee with the Mitchell Center for Sustainability Solutions, Noelle Bonham, who is State Director for AARP Maine, and Steve Couts with the Finance Authority of Maine. Share your ideas, share your questions. We can't wait to hear from you. You can post on Facebook or Instagram or call 1-800-399-3566 or send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll go to Susan calling from Belfast. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. One idea that I find is pretty effective is to take a picture of my refrigerator and pantry and freezer before I go to the grocery store.
Yep, just pull out the phone and take a picture. So if you can't remember, maybe you can pull out your phone and make it larger and larger and look at that shelf, right?
Exactly. It reveals a lot that I never knew was there.
Also very helpful if you're organized and you have things that are similar in the same place. So, Susan, thanks for that tip. I really appreciate it. We're going to go now to Kate Yerksa, who is with the University of Maine Cooperative Extension. She's a professor of expanded food and nutrition, the education program there. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Well, so you probably like the tip that we just heard from a caller, right?
I sure did.
Yeah. And I know you are an advocate of making a list. That sounds simple and that sounds obvious, but what is the difference between making a list and not making a list before you go to the grocery store?
That's a great question. And I heard previously some really great ideas around, you know, shopping, what you have on hand. Making a list comes after you determine what meals you're going to make for the week, the next couple of weeks, or the month, depending on the household. Making that list, identifying what you need to purchase, accounting for what I like to call planned overs instead of leftovers. It's kind of a nicer way to talk about using the food that you've already prepared and making sure nothing goes to waste. So that list will help you guide your purchases at the grocery store so you don't get sucked into some of those impulse buys that happen at the grocery store. I also say making sure you actually bring your list with you to the store is a great way to make sure you stick to your list. But there's a lot of great apps that you can use and making sure that other household members can be part of that. So you have a comprehensive list so you don't forget something and have to return back to the store. As you're preparing that list, you can use store flyers or check out your store loyalty programs for coupons, which may save you money if it's an item that you typically purchase. Using that unit price label to compare if you have a coupon that you want to use. But that list, knowing what you're going to prepare, also allows you to be a little bit flexible if you find an item on your list and there's a substitute that is actually less money. You can easily switch those out and end up saving some money, but still getting everything you need on your list.
Yeah. Kate, what about some food items that you would recommend? My go-to when I'm feeling the money's a little tight is lentils. What about lentils and what about some other ideas?
Absolutely. Dry beans, peas, lentils, or canned beans are great protein alternatives to animal proteins and cost less money. Sometimes I think the barrier for many people is seeing that bag of dry beans and thinking, it's going to take me a really long time to soak and cook these. We have a lot of resources and recipes that use beans, and you don't have to start from a dry bean. Canned beans are great. Some people are worried about added sodium in canned foods. We encourage people to drain and rinse beans, which actually reduces sodium by almost 40%. And the same with vegetables as well. Sometimes people don't have a choice about what type of canned foods they receive. So that does help increase fruit and vegetable intake and reducing sodium. But beans are a great versatile ingredient. They can also help stretch other types of proteins. So if you do have ground meats, adding the lentils, like you mentioned, does help stretch that recipe as well.
All right. And Kate, what do you think about some of the tried and true food storage ideas, like, and this might sound counterintuitive, but maybe buying a chest freezer, and then when something's a really good price at the grocery store, buying it? Or do you think that people don't actually use that as efficiently as they think they're going to?
That's a great question. Sometimes you'll have to make sure, you know, purchasing that freezer is really within the bigger budget. It may not be at that time. So assessing what storage you have when you have the opportunity to buy larger quantities. Also, you could consider maybe splitting those larger purchases with friends, families, neighbors, and that can help you access that food at a lower cost. If you want to freeze food, we want to make sure that, you know, you're labeling it with the date that it's frozen, and you're using what are called freezer grade containers or zip top bags, just so you help preserve the quality of that food. It's a great way to get money for less if you have the facility or the storage space for that.
So, Kate, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'm sorry because you don't know this question is coming, but I'm wondering if you would just share sort of a recipe, something that's easy and feeds a family, and something that, you know, you might make once a week at your home or know a friend who does.
Sure. I actually have two recipes that I enjoy making quite a bit. One is a black bean burger, and that is available on our UMaine Extension recipes site. So it uses canned black beans, one egg, some seasoning, and some breadcrumbs. It's a recipe that we tested and found that if you bake them in the oven and then put them in a frying pan just to crisp them up a little bit, they really stick together nicely, like you would expect a burger to stay together. So very inexpensive, easy, and they freeze really well. So you could make two batches and then have them available for another meal at another time. Another one actually includes lentils, as you mentioned, and it's one that I actually used to make quite a bit when my kids were younger, and it's called cheesy lentils and rice. So it's pretty straightforward, and you bake it in the oven for about an hour. So it's not one that gives you a quick meal, but it's a great recipe that could be a main meal, a lunch at work, or a side dish.
Kate, thank you so much for calling in. And, you know, for anybody who doesn't know this already, the UMaine Cooperative Extension is just an endless fount of ideas. So if you have some time to spend online, great place to go, right, Kate? Oh, I don't think she heard me. Kate Yerkes is with UMaine Cooperative Extension. Suzanne, I know you wanted to build on something that Kate was saying. You know, she's talking about canned beans and things like that. Let's say you have some canned beans in the cupboard and you pull them out and you say, oh boy, those say October of 2025. What do I do with those?
Yes, well, that is something that's one of the biggest opportunities, again, for saving money, is to not be fooled by the date labeling, which actually, unfortunately, the recent research shows that the majority of households are not clear what best buy, sell by, good until, what those different labels mean. And they're generally understood to be some kind of health and safety. They think that there's like some government regulation that has put that date on that can of beans. And that is actually in most cases not true. Only baby food formula is actually regulated by the government. Otherwise, it's not. And in most cases, it's just a manufacturer's suggestion of what they think a date would be by which, you know, you shouldn't use something. I mean, in terms of canned foods, you definitely can get life beyond that date. So many people, I think about half of households actually clean out their pantries and their refrigerators using the date labels. And, you know, that is just a totally, accounts for about 20% of the food that gets wasted. And it's all needless, because in the case of any packaged foods, there's not any specific health risk. And in the UK, where they took off all date labels off of all their foods, they found that waste went down, and they just told people to go back to the old days, use your senses, you know, sniff, smell, taste, you know, to see if something's good. I mean, that cracker might not be as crispy, but it's certainly no reason to throw it out. And the can of beans, as long as the seal is not popped up, you know, it's definitely has life beyond the date on the can. So that's a big opportunity.
Great. Well, we're going to go now to John Paradise. He's Senior Vice President of Communications, Marketing, and Community Engagement with Town and Country Federal Credit Union. John, welcome back to the show.
It's always a pleasure, Jen. Thanks for having me.
You know, Steve's talked a little bit about this, but I know that you really encourage people to create a realistic budget, not a wishful thinking budget, correct?
Yeah, you've got to be honest with yourself, because the only one you're fooling if you don't create a realistic and a sensible budget that makes sense, the only one you're fooling is yourself, and you're going to have to pay the piper at some point. So I think you do that, you create a realistic budget by looking at all the things you spend. That doesn't mean everything you're doing is wrong. It's just a way to identify what you're spending money on. Are you dining out a lot? Are you using subscriptions that you never use anymore, but you're still paying for? Are you doing impulse buys? All those types of things that once you have a real good snapshot of what you're doing budget-wise, that's when you can start identifying, well, maybe I don't need to eat out 5 days a week for lunch. Maybe it's just one day. And you can make those subtle changes. I think the real thing with frugality and frugal living, Jen, is make small steps. You can't all of a sudden turn a switch and say, well, I'm going to be frugal starting tomorrow. It's small steps and baby steps. And I think people need to give themselves a little bit of grace and a little bit of patience to get to that point. But realistic budget is paramount to getting that process started.
Yeah. What if it's gone beyond the need to make small changes? What if you're in a position where maybe you're having a hard time paying bills or something like that? What do you recommend people do?
Well, unfortunately, I think people suffer in silence, especially in, you know, Mainers are very prideful folks, and people tend not to discuss things, especially when it comes to issues. But I think the first thing that people should do is reach out and have a discussion. Let your financial institution know that you're struggling, and it's okay. I think there are a lot of options that you can look at and take advantage of if you have a conversation. I mean, speaking personally from our institution, we talk with people all the time about, you know, you can consolidate that high interest credit card into one easy monthly payment that will lower your what you're paying. You can maybe look at ways to defer payments for a period of time. Look at payment plans and things that will provide some temporary but also long-term relief, and it can get you into the habit and put you in a much better situation long-term. It's really about looking at the short-term solution and then looking at the long-term game, what you're going to try to do. But I think if you never ask, you're never going to get. Too often people think, well, you know, my financial institution or my credit card company, they're going to, you know, not work with me, or my medical provider or whatever. You never know until you ask. And a lot of times, you know, at the end of the day, people want to get paid. And sometimes the small timely payments over time ultimately will get you to that goal, but it may take a little longer than you want. But your lender, your financial institution, they want to get paid. They want to help you get out of the predicament that you're in. So I think having that conversation and not being afraid to say, listen, I need help, is a really important part of this process.
Well, John, thanks so much for calling in. John Paradise with Town and Country Federal Credit Union. Steve, what would you like to say to follow up with to what John has suggested?
Yeah, I'm so glad John called in. Excellent points about turning to your financial institution in times of need, in times of trouble. In addition to that, for your financial institution, I wanted to mention this idea of frugality means getting the most out of our resources, ultimately. Everything we have, squeezing everything we can out of it. The same goes for the money we do have. So connect with your financial institution, your bank or credit union, talk about your banking behavior and your banking needs, and see if, for example, your bill paying account could be earning you a little bit of interest, whereas right now it might not be. And just by changing this, the type of account you have, if you could be earning some money on the money you use to pay your bills. If you are in fact saving money or fortunate enough to have some money put away, you could perhaps earn more on that, which can help with these financially tough times and your long-term financial wellness. So it's not only on the expense side, but also on the savings and earning side. How can we be frugal?
And Steve, does FAME have resources to help people with this?
So on our website, we have a financial wellness section right there on the main page, which offers endless tips and strategies which connect to pretty much everything you've heard today and more. In addition, there's also a blog that I write where I talk about a lot of these issues and always include resources related to various topics, whether it's cutting back on spending, really looking at our budget, like John said, or whether it's talking to our financial institution about growing our money.
All right. One thing I'm thinking, Noel, Suzanne mentioned that maybe if you, I think it was Suzanne, I might have be confused that maybe if you do buy bulk, sharing with a neighbor or going in on it together. And I'm thinking that in so many ways, being frugal is also a good excuse to build community, whether you're going in on a shopping purchase, but maybe, and especially I know that so many people live alone, if you're cooking a meal, sharing it with a neighbor, and then vice versa later that week, what do you think of, I mean, am I onto something here? Is this something that, and are these strategies that folks at AARP, AARP offices and programs have found throughout the country?
Yes, and there you see that a whole lot through age-friendly community initiatives across the state. And you know, Maine has about just under 100 age-friendly communities from Kittery, Maine to Fort Kent, Maine. And older adults are doing all sorts of innovative things to build community, to address social isolation. And in the midst of all of that, they're also being frugal by sharing those meals, by sharing a ride to, you know, there are a set of volunteers that are, that live in Portland, South Portland, Cape Elizabeth, and Sanford, Maine. And every time when, you know, we have volunteers that come to the State House every week, they carpool all the time. You know, they do not want to drive by themselves, one, because, you know, it's not cost effective, two, because they get to hang out each way, you know, that hour and a half, you know, the five or four of them that go to the State House every week together. And it is sharing meals, like you mentioned, it is sharing rides, sharing books. And also many of them actually get together and make things together, like quilting. And they're, so they don't have the energy to kind of make a whole quilt by themselves, but they kind of share portions of that project. If they're trying to make something for the you know, the school downtown or the where their grandkid is studying. And it's a fun way to kind of build community, but mostly to address social isolation while you know, saving money, while doing things creatively. I also, if I may very quickly mention, AARP also has tools that one could go to, and it's aarp.org/tools or aarp.org/tools/money for people to be able to budget out what they might need for the next 3 to 6 months to have as an emergency fund, to do financial planning, to do retirement planning, to see if their investments are could do better than what they are right now. And so there are a whole bunch of tools available as well. So people might go to, you know, in addition to FAME tools, could also go and check out some of those on the AARP website.
Well, we're talking about ways to be frugal and ways to reframe being frugal. We are going to take a quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are talking about ways to stretch our dollars. My guests here, Here to help, Noel Bonham, who is State Director for AARP Maine, Steve Kautz, Accredited Financial Counselor and Financial Education Program Specialist with FAME, which is the Finance Authority of Maine, and Suzanne Lee, Faculty Fellow at the University of Maine's Mitchell Center for Sustainability Solutions. Our phone lines are full, but you can try to get through 1-800-399-3566, our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. I'm going to try to zip through a few of these ideas. Bruce says, please discuss how we can save thousands with current gas prices by modifying our driving style, speed, rapid acceleration and braking, reducing trips and commuting together. It's probably as much as what we throw away in food, if not more. And we have from John a related email, simply consolidating shopping trips not only saves on your expense for gas, but also reduces the demand for gas, which eventually lowers the price of gasoline. Simple supply and demand. So an idea from John and Suzanne, I'm sure you advocate trying to go to the grocery store as few times as possible and making that list. I'm going to, let's see here, we're going to go to Ray, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Ray, go ahead.
Portland. Yeah, just an old farmer putting in the word for the crock pot, Jennifer.
I love it. And this is what I like because, you know, I used my crock pot last week. A lot of these ideas are things we all know, but maybe forgot. And Ray, I've got you on the line. What is your favorite thing to put in the crock pot?
Oh, beans and rice, you know, and then mix in some vegetables. You don't have to use as much meat. You don't have to use as much salt and sugar. You know, I think your guest from India was talking about, too, that think about in our own societies, the old grandma that would take, you know, the rooster that was being rough with the hens and cook them in a pot for 3 days. I had one of those, you know, grandmothers and come up with something, you know, incredible. And you look at Indian cooking, they use so many spices, simple dishes, you know, that are healthy for you. A lot of beans and rice and lentils, but, you know, a lot of spices. And I think we culturally, we got to look at that because we spend too much money eating out. And
Ray, thank you so much for calling in. We'll go up to Lewiston to Sean. Hi, Sean, go ahead.
Hi, for some of your stuff, you can go to Goodwill or buy on Facebook Marketplace. A lot of us could use to drink more water and buy less pre-prepared drinks. You already touched on tax savings with retirement, and that using less fuel, that's a lot bigger than what people think. And then shop around for your insurance.
Yeah, Sean, thanks for that. Noel, I love that Sean mentioned Facebook Marketplace. There are also Buy Nothing Facebook sites where people in towns, I know in my town, will put something up that's free and people will take it. One of many, many examples how technology can help us save money.
And technology can be a great tool. I mean, it can also be the bane of one's existence sometimes, but it can be great to save money as well. There are so many online social media tools right now. For example, WhatsApp, what one used to have to pay for long distance calls if you were calling someone who's living abroad. Now you can use WhatsApp and it doesn't cost you anything more to, you know, actually use that tool to talk to someone long distance. The other thing we do is, you know, if you're doing this already, earlier we used to pay our bills by, you know, buying envelopes and stamps and postage and putting your check in that envelope and sending it off, and the checks cost you money, postage cost you money, and so do envelopes and the stationery, you know. But if you have online banking and you pay your bills electronically, you're saving money there as well. So technology can also be leveraged to live frugally.
Sean, thanks for your call. An email here from Karen. As a frugal New England woman, I'm thrilled to share this little known Hannaford perk. All the Southern Maine Hannafords that I've been to have meat and cheese ends, smorgasbords, meat and cheese ends smorgasbords that sell for $3.99 a pound. It is an incredible money-saving option. The deli staff are always happy to pick through what they have for your request so it doesn't end up in the compost bin. And if you can freeze the products, It's incredible. Suzanne, did you know about this?
It's so funny. We must have telepathy. I was just going to mention that the grocery store retailers, there are some real bargains, especially related to dates. So I'm sure those ends and things, you know, they want to get them out, like she said, before they end up in compost. The retailer that I shop at, I mean, I literally saw a stuffed chicken breast that they have in the fancy section for $7.99 a pound, but maybe it was going to be not good in a day or the date was marked the next day, and it was down to $1.99 a pound. So, you know, and they have that for the produce area. They've got bagged up produce that's on its way, you know, so if you put it in a soup, it's perfectly good. So, yeah, those little secrets, look at your grocery retailer to see where they are marking things down for for quick sale.
We'll go to Michael in Garland. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the reward of frugality is to have money to save. My comment is that it's easier to save money at the beginning of the pay period than it is to have money left over after you've spent.
Aha. Steve, I bet you can't agree more.
Absolutely. In everything I do or anything that you'll see on Fame's resources, we talk about pay yourself first. When I talk about cutting a streaming service, for example, it could be to pay another immediate bill, but it could also be to pay yourself for the next crisis or for the future. Absolutely trying to redirect money to yourself a little bit here and there from all the tips we heard today can really add up.
All right. Thanks, Michael, so much. Let's see. We'll see how many more people we can fit in. Go to Bob and Saco. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm going to be real quick with a couple of points. About a year and a half ago, we got an air fryer for my house, and that air fryer has more than paid for itself. So, well, first of all, it only uses a 110 outlet and not a 220 like our oven. We hardly ever use our oven anymore. But the quality of leftovers coming out of an air fryer, my wife and two daughters actually will eat leftovers now by using the air fryer.
Bob, this is interesting. So you're a family of four, because I think that the air fryer is really great for people who are living alone because they're not usually that big. But you find that everybody in your family uses it. I'm guessing you don't make the nightly dinner meal in it, but everybody individually uses it to heat up a little something here and there?
Yes, we like to use it instead of our oven. And it works, like I said, it works really great on leftovers, like Chinese food leftovers, where my kids would never eat it before. Now they throw it in the air fryer and they love it. But another really quick important point I'd like to make is I would like to see all our schools put in a used clothing room, to take one of the rooms in the school, make clothing drop-offs a priority in the community, because I have so many clothes my daughters could donate to a clothing store where kids could go in there and get them for free. There's a little bit of a stigma for parents to go into a Goodwill store, but these kids could grab clothes right there while they're at school. I just wanted to make that point as well. Thank you.
That's a good idea, Bob. And the good news is, Suzanne, is that the stigma of going to something like a Goodwill is vanishing with Gen Z and with Gen Alpha. In fact, it's seen as cool. Vintage clothing is seen as hip. My daughter is angry with me for getting rid of so many of my clothes from the 1980s, which I shudder to think of anybody ever wearing again.
Yeah, definitely. Our town just did a clothing swap, and it was really an idea that came from some of the younger members on the committee, was to, you know, gather up, you know, have everyone bring their clothes they didn't want and find other clothes that they would want from their neighbors. So, yeah, it's a really trending idea.
We'll go to Ian calling for Morrill. Ian, we're tight on time, so if you could be quick, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll be quick. Thanks for having me. The first thing I want to talk about is being able to do your own car work. And there's some things you can do with very simple hand tools, like working on brakes. If you go on a place like rockauto.com, you can find the parts and how much they cost. That's also a good way to compare that against what a mechanic is trying to quote for you. If you don't have the ability to do your own work, do not go get your work done at a dealership. Try to get your work done at a local mom and pop. And don't always go with your first quote. Get a couple quotes from different places and pick the best number.
And Ian, it's interesting you talk about doing your own repair work on your car. And earlier we were talking about building community. I'm guessing if this scares some of our listeners, maybe it's an opportunity to meet somebody in your neighborhood, in your town, who might be able to show you how to do it.
Yeah, and there's stuff you can learn really easily. All you need to do is see somebody else do it once, and you'll be able to do it. Another thing I wanted to mention was change your auto insurance. Every year or so or less, auto insurance raises the rent on your fees. If you're just not paying attention to it, you'll end up paying a lot of money. And all it is a policy and a piece of paper. Just call and get different quotes and change your auto insurance.
Well, Ian, thanks for those tips. So many other tips coming in, but just thinking about this, I think, is really going to help so many people, including myself. I have some ideas today. Thank you all for joining us. Our guest for the hour, Noel Bonham with AARP Maine, Steve Kautz with FAME, and Suzanne Lee with UMaine. We will put the resources mentioned into our Maine Calling newsletter, which is free and goes out every Friday. You can just go to mainecalling.org to sign up. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we want to hear from you again. What are you thinking about as you vote this primary season? Are you thinking about the same issues or the same qualities in a candidate you used to, or do you find yourself thinking a little differently this year? We want to try to get our finger on the pulse of what matters to voters, so we hope you'll call in. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.